Praise God. We're about to get started here this morning. I want to say good morning to first seekers, the one that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise God. And he said all things will be added. Hallelujah. Oh, we have a good lesson this morning. And you know, when I sit in this seat this early, it's got to be about communion. Something God wants me to release to his people. Because we got to understand this, people, because this is very important for the last days. Very important that we come into clarity on this. Very important. Because we're going to use this quite a bit. And we're going to see that even through this, when it was understood and taken properly, revival broke out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to enter into that today, teaching on that, but that part. But we saw it even when they came out, that not even a feeble one came out. That was a healing revival right there. Mm-hmm. Not a feeble one was among them, nor a weak one. Now, I know when you see the movies, you see them coming out on stretchers and all kinds of ways, people helping them out, but that's not biblical.
Right.
He said it was not a feeble, that was a healing revival there that they had. And they didn't have, they didn't have what we had today. Right. They had the animal sacrifice, but it was type and shadow of Jesus, which we do have now. And if they received that much from the Passover, practicing that, how much more should we be able to receive when we got the real here? We got the real deal here. We have Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. So we ought to be receiving when we partake in this meal. This is not, we don't believe as the Catholic believe that this is the literary body and blood of Jesus. We don't believe that way. But we do believe that a transaction do take place when we eat of this meal. This is just not an ordinary, this is a spiritual meal. And I really, what I'm going to start in Revelation. This is going to be my backdrop scripture to really bring you into how the knowledge of how much the Lord wants to commune with his people, want to sup with you, want to be, take a part of this meal with you. Let's go to Revelation 3:20. Now, let me explain to you, because due to the time, I don't have the time to read all the way through this third chapter as we talk about the Laodicean. Let's talk about what was going on, what was happening when Jesus talked about this church, when he said, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write these things, amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, there are neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. They were in between. They were lukewarm Christian. They were lukewarm saint. He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. You know. He went on to tell them things that he knew about them. And we're not going to be able to read all of these things. But we said, in the 19th verse, he says, many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent of all the things that they were doing. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. A church like this, he wanted to have communion with them. He wanted to bring them to the table. Can you see a church like this? Now, I'm telling you, if it was us, what we would say, we probably would just say, forget them, Lord. I mean, this was a materialistic church. I mean, they pretty much like what you see today. They were just, you know, just into things and money and they were just so into things of God that they didn't have time for him. You get what I'm saying? They carried on and did things. You know, like I heard this minister say, they was questioning him. How did you fall? You know, this was at your greatest hour. How did you fall? He said, I start doing things, but I didn't have time for Jesus. And that's how I felt.
Yeah.
I got real busy. I got caught up in the world, in the, you know, activity, bringing in more money, doing this, doing that, and doing things until I just didn't have time for Jesus. But this is what he's saying here in the 20th verse. I want to come in and sup with you. And he said it's not enough. Let's look at the 20th verse. It's just not enough that I sup with you, but you got to, in return, sup with me. It's on both of our part. We just can't say, hey, I come in and sup with, he said, and you with me.
Yeah.
And one thing I like to bring out here, he said, I'm at, if any man hear my voice, one preacher was saying, that you can't take, when you take communion, you need to take it with people, at a church or with people and stuff. But he said, if any man. Mm-hmm. And what door was he knocking on? Can anybody tell me what door was he knocking on?
The door of
our hearts. He said, if anybody would just let me in.
Yeah.
Any of them. I'll come in and I'll sup with y'all. I'll dine with y'all. I have communion with. That's how bad he wants to commune with us. And I come to tell you this morning that Jesus is calling us back to the table to sup with us in this hour, because he has many things to tell us in this hour, many things we need to hear around the table. You know, in the natural, I'm from a large family, and when we all got around the table for a meal, we found out some interesting things. Things that we wouldn't have known than other than being around the table. I mean, they talked, gave them the food. They were just, I'm like, okay, didn't know this, didn't know that. But Jesus is calling the people back to the table. And no doubt that the Laodicean was not at the table, but they were at the table wrong, like the Corinthians. They wasn't supping with him. He said, I want to sup with you.
Yeah.
I want you to open up the door. He said, I'm knocking. I want to get in. And so that's where we are now. He wants to get into the church, taking the Lord's Supper with clarity. Understanding what you're doing, because if not, you can be around here at the table, we can be taking it this morning, if it's not done with clarity and understanding, you won't benefit from it. God wants us to benefit from this meal. I know we often say it's the meal of the year, but we're going to find out it's the meal for a lot of other things. I'm going to release prayer upon you right now. That was just a little introduction to what we're going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come around this table this morning. We come to study your word. You said study to show yourself approval unto you. And Lord, we come to study this word. We come to ask you that you open up our eyes to communion. We ask the Holy Spirit to be the teacher today, to teach and guide and lead us into all the truth of communion, of the Lord's Supper. You know, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I took you to Revelation, the end, the start, the beginning. We want you to know how much he wants to sup with us. I mean, really sup. Not just us coming taking this like we're taking juice and the bread, or the wine and the bread. Now, what we're going to find out this morning, why we can come and just take it this way. You know, some say, well, it's not the unleavened bread. It's not the, you know, this kind of bread, you know, how we know we're taking it right. We're going to find out what we're doing this morning to make this cup right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And then we go into Luke, the 22nd chapter. So if you want to just, this is 1 Corinthians 10 and 17. First Corinthians, let's do 10 and 16. Okay, give them your time to find it. If you got it, say aye. Okay, 10 and 16. Okay, it reads, the cup of blessing which we bless. The cup of blessing which what?
We bless.
Now, if you don't bless it, it's going to remain the same. If you don't speak over this, it will remain just juice and bread. It like when Jesus spoke over it when he was feeding the 5,000. It could have remained a happy meal for that little boy. It could have remained that. But when he spoke over, we're going to find out the power of the spoken word. When he spoke over it, he took it out of the kingdom of darkness where it was designed to be just that little boy's lunch. Because, I mean, it wouldn't have fed 5,000. He had to bring it into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Where it could feed 5,000 people. Now, it's the way we bless it. Paul here in Corinthians says, the way you bless, he said, this is the cup of blessing which we bless. We have to bless it. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He said, when we bless it, it becomes the communion.
Amen.
Of the, we're communion with Christ. Koinonia. We're communing with Christ. That's the one we've been leaving out, is Christ, communing with him. Okay, and he says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body?
Amen.
We're communing, we're partaking, we're getting something from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people in the world know this one thing. You are what you eat. They know that.
Amen.
So when we partake in this, we're communing. Like I said, in the natural world, I found out a lot of things just being around the family table. Because they were asking questions. They was telling it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus has things he want to tell us around the table that everybody don't get. But you'll get it around the table if you come. And so he's calling us back to the table with clarity and understanding wisdom. We're going to take time. Okay, let me finish reading this. For we all partakers, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partakers of that one bread. Okay. we are going to see, we see why we can do, we don't, it don't have to be unleavened bread, it don't have to be, you know, this and that, because you're going to what? You're going to bless it. And once you bless it, it's what God's word said it is.
Amen.
Okay? Do everybody get it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we see why we can do it this way. Because they got all kinds of bread. I mean, you go out there. See, at first, the Passover was a Jewish celebration. So they have that unleavened bread. They have this and they have that. And, you know, and you're like, my God, are we taking it right? Are we got the right elements? We do when you speak over it, when you bless it. Paul said you got the right elements when you bless it. But it's something that you have to do. You have to speak over it. You have to say what God said about it. Okay, let's go to Luke 22. And let's read from Luke 22. Praise God. We come to sup with him this morning because we know the blood has a voice. Okay, let's go to Luke 22. We're going to see here where I'm trying to give you a snapshot of people that didn't understand what they were doing that night. They took communion. And Jesus had to do it because, I mean, whether they understood it that night or not, he had to do it because it was a transition from Passover to the Last Supper. And nobody could do that but Jesus himself, because he understood the importance of it. And let's go here and read it, Luke 22 and 14. Let's start at the 14th verse. It said, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. You know, one thing him and the apostle had taken Passover suppers before, but they did it maybe with other people in another location. But this one had to be very private. Because if they had heard him saying what he's saying here now, they would have crucified him right then. Because he's making, I mean, he's been doing this transition here, and even the disciples didn't really understand it. But he wasn't worried. Now, I mean, when I read this, I can see why Jesus said, boys, I can't leave you alone. I got to send you a comforter, one just like me. And he can't leave us alone either.
That's right.
He can't leave us by ourselves. Right. Yeah, we just won't do it. And said, Luke 22 and 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with them. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He said, I've been desiring to eat it this way with you. Every time we sit down at Passover, I was desiring to eat it this way. But he couldn't. He couldn't reveal it to them that way. He said, but the hour's come now, you know, it's time for me to go to, I got to reveal it to you this way. Because he's doing a transition. He's going from Passover to the Lord's Supper to communion. And thank God he transitioned. Because in the Passover, they had to bring the lamb. None of you brought a lamb in this morning. Because the lamb is provided for you in this meal. It's provided. Praise God. That's one good thing to thank God for. And it says, the 15th verse, and he said unto them with desire. In the 16th verse, I say unto you, I will not anymore eat there of until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He said, I'm not going to eat this meal with you no more until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. See, he hadn't gone to the cross. There had nothing been fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But this is a transition he was releasing. It had to be released. And he said, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And we're going to understand what he's saying there. I've got to bring that out to you because a lot of people thinking he's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when he'll go back to eating this communion with me. But we're going to bring, just hold. Y'all looking at me like I'm a, just hold, just kind of hold on. We're going, okay. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I would not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood. He couldn't say that some Passovers before. He couldn't pick up the cups. They had a couple of cups there that represented things. And one cup there represented the Messiah. And he picked that cup up. And he took ownership of that cup. He said, this is my cup. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that be betrayed is with one of me on the table. He was saying, now, in this communion, he had somebody that was going to betray him. And we all know now it was Judas. And it was a lot going on. And he didn't stop communion because this was very important. He's about to die. And when a person's about to die, they don't do all kind of foolish stuff. But they only do those things that are important. And he was letting them know, one is here about to betray me. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man whom he has betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them was it that should do this? And let me tell you what else was happening. Y'all thinking that the Corinthians was bad. When we get back in here and read about the Corinthians, how they were taking it, we look at them and we say, oh, that's terrible how they was taking communion, you know. And we know Paul said, I can't praise you boys by the way y'all are taking communion because it's wrong. It's all wrong. But let's see what was happening here in the 24th verse. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest in the kingdom. It was strife among them. And now know what the word of God said about strife? Well, there's strife as every evil work. This was what's going on, and they were having communion with Jesus, but they didn't understand it. They had been doing, and did they come to understand it? Yes. How can you say that, Sister Mir? In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and revealed, because Jesus wasn't too much worried about these boys here. He was saying the Holy Spirit going to come, and he's going to teach you all things I've been trying to show you. You're going to see it better. Whoa. And they did see it better. It said they went from house to house breaking bread. And the Lord added to the church daily. That was like a revival. I mean, not just once a month. We get excited if somebody come once a month or twice. Listen, but this was a daily adding. It said the Lord added to the church daily. And that was, they got to understand it. They said, oh, just like Peter got the understanding of what Joel was talking about. Peter said, oh, this is what Joel, this is what I've been reading. I didn't understand it. But he had the key to open it up and say, hey, this is what Joel was talking about. You know, they had read Joel, and it was just a reading, you know. It was, but they were able to realize and recognize that this is it. And they were able to recognize and realize communion. They did it daily. They went from house to house daily, breaking bread and singleness of heart. And because, see, I'm going to tell you, I'm running through this, but Communion is a heart issue. You got to do it from the heart. If you're not doing it from the heart or with the heart in it, because it's a spiritual meal and the heart must, it can't just be a mental thing. See, the church has, not all churches, but the church have, some of the churches have just taken it as a mental thing, like the Corinthians did. We're just doing it because Paul told us to do it, you know? And it wasn't a heart issue, but it's a heart thing. You have to put your heart in it because it's spiritual. Anything spiritual, you have to put the heart in it. Mm-hmm. It can't just be mental alone, okay? And we see these people had strife in them, and they want to know who was being the greatest. Now, it was a man that asked me, said, you're doing communion all wrong because you're not doing the foot washing. Said, if you think communion is so great, where is the foot washing? Huh? Well, that was a noise from you. What was that noise? Was it from you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, it's okay. I just wanted to know where the noise was coming from. Okay, he said, well, why is the foot washing? And guess what? I asked the Holy Spirit about it. You know me. I'm going to ask him, why didn't Paul say foot washing? Well, the argument was who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And they had strife in their heart. Now, Jesus here is trying to teach him about transition into the Lord's Supper. And he's seen all that strife in his heart, in their heart. He had to teach them right then and there about the greatest, who's going to be the greatest. He got a towel. He's washed their feet. I'm running through it really fast, so you're going to have to track with me. He washed their feet, and Peter like, no, you can't do that. That's what the low servants do. Servants did that because, see, in that day and time, the culture was they wore sandals and they walked nearly everywhere they went, and their feet got really nasty and dirty, 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 dirty. And this was a lesson he was trying to teach his disciples, who's going to be the greatest. I'm serving y'all. I'm getting on my knees and washing your feet, something that a servant, that was the lowest job of a servant. They would, when people would come in, they would take some of the dirt off the feet, wash the feet. Peter said, no, you Lord, you know, you are master. You can't do that. That's for a servant. And God said, okay, they got it. Now they got, he was really concerned about them getting that because strife was there. He said, okay, boom, bonus, they got it. Peter said, you can't do it, Lord. You're Lord, you're master. That's for a servant. So that's who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, the ones that serve. Can we still yet wash feet and kind of benefit from that as a love thing? Yes, you can if you desire to do that. But Jesus had to get the strife out their heart about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. He had to let them know the one that Peter said, no, you can't do that. You Lord, you can't serve us that way. That's the lowest. And then Peter got it. He said, oh, okay. The one that's going to be the greatest is the one that's going to serve. They're going to do I want to serve. So that was a lesson to teach them right there to get that strife out of their heart. Because if he hadn't got that strife out of their hearts right then and there, he had to deal with that then. You have to deal. People, you have to deal with strife when?
Right then.
Right then. So he dealt with the strife. The foot washing was to deal with who's the greatest in the kingdom. And does that give us a lesson? Yeah, we can benefit from that lesson. We know you got to serve if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom. This kingdom doesn't operate like the natural kingdom. You got to serve. In the natural kingdom, you want to be served. And when you serve, you say, hey, I'm the greatest. You know. But not in this kingdom, okay? My time is up.